Welcome once again to Park Street Brethren. We're so grateful that you're worshiping with us as we are finishing up the Lenten season in our sermon series called Welcome to the Resistance. We have been talking about what it means to be intentional with the way we spend our time, what we allow to fill our thoughts and our hearts. Knowing that what we engage with, what we consume, is not neutral, but our actual desires and the things we want are shaped by how we spend our time. And so we've been reflecting on the way we spend our time. The Lenten season is the season that the church celebrates Jesus's revelation, not only of God's character, being holy and perfect and true, but also his disposition towards sinners is that of love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. He comes to redeem and restore those who have gone far away, and the lengths that he is willing to go to purchase us back from sin and death, he demonstrates fully on the cross. So the Lenten season is the 40 days leading up to Easter Sunday, not including Sundays. So if you've been doing the digital fast with us, here's your chart. Look how close you are. I have friends who have, in seasons of their lives, gone through like a dietary detox. Have you ever done something like that, where you try to eat clean and try to eat whole for a period of time? And at the end of it, we would always joke, now it's time for the retox. So you've detoxed, and now it's time to retox. We hope that you would reflect on that a little bit, that if you have been engaging in rhythms in which you have maybe not been spending as much time on screens, or maybe you've not been on social media, and in our family, if you've experienced what we have, that our lives are just better. There's more of a sense of togetherness, that not everyone's distracted. There's a lot less difficulty in fighting in the home. I hope you prayerfully consider how you're going to re-engage with some of those habits. But we have just 1 week left until Easter Sunday. This week, today, Palm Sunday is the start of Holy Week. And Holy Week is the 7 days leading up to Easter Sunday. And just like all of the Christian calendar, Holy Week gives us an invitation to enter into the story that God is telling of how Christ is restoring all things. And so today is the day we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry in Palm Sunday. The crowds gathered, just as Zach read, waving palm branches, singing Hosanna in the highest, which means save us. You alone can do it. The very next day, Scripture tells us that Jesus enters into the temple and cleanses the temple in Jerusalem, driving out the moneylenders. The very next day, he comes back to the temple to do some extensive teaching. We actually talked about that last Sunday. Wednesday of Holy Week is called Spy Wednesday. It's the day that we recognize that one of his inner circle, one of the 12 disciples, Judas Iscariot, betrayed Jesus, and so he went to receive payment for betraying his master. Thursday, we will be gathering in this space for Maundy Thursday. It's the day of the Last Supper, and it's the day that Jesus demonstrated in the Gospel of John the full extent of his love by washing his disciples' feet. Following the communion meal, the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus stays up all night praying. His disciples fail to do that. But then right before the sun rises on Friday, Jesus' adversaries come to him in the middle of the night. They arrest him. He has a mock trial. He is scourged, and then he is crucified on Friday. Saturday, Holy Saturday, is the day that Jesus remains in the tomb. And then obviously Easter Sunday is that victorious day in which Christ arises victorious over sin and death. I hope that your family will figure out ways to reflect on and enter into this story. It's the story of God restoring and loving us and saving us through Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would find time to be with one another and to reflect on this. Zach did a great job reading Matthew, but I want to revisit it, and I want us to reflect on Scripture's account of this incredible scene. Jesus, who for so much of his ministry is spending so much time and energy trying to tamp down the excitement surrounding him. He's often telling people, don't tell anybody who healed you, all this stuff. But now it seems like the cork has popped off, and he's entering into Jerusalem. It's right before the Passover. That means Passover is one of those feasts where many Jewish people, no matter where they live in the country, travel to Jerusalem to celebrate and to worship. So all of these people are in town. Jerusalem is busting at the seams with visitors. And this is what the gospel says. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. This is hard to imagine. We were talking about it in the pre-service prayer time. Is Jesus straddling both donkeys? Does he just have one foot on the little donkey? I don't know. But a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. This is a sign of incredible honor and deference, a sign of royalty coming through. And others cut branches from trees, spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and the ones that followed. So we just got to imagine this big parade of people with Jesus riding on this donkey in the middle of it, and before him and after him, just crowds of people waving branches and shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. So think of all those hundreds of thousands of people that might have been there. And they asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his words. I love this quote by F.M. Alexander. People do not decide their futures. They decide their habits. And their habits decide their futures. Throughout this sermon series, we've been talking about liturgy, which is kind of a fancy church word, but it doesn't have to be. Liturgy just means the things that we engage with to train our hearts. Just like you would go to a gym to work out, to train your muscles, to develop them, to make them stronger, liturgy is the work of the people. It's the work that the church does together to train our hearts and our attentions to be on Jesus. And we've been reflecting on the fact that church is not the only place that has liturgies, that the world around us has liturgies. And we are probably regularly engaging in those cultural liturgies. And so the question is, what is more dominantly forming our hearts. If we're engaging in cultural liturgies 6 days a week and only giving Jesus about 90 minutes on Sunday, if the preacher can hurry up and wrap it up, we wonder if there might be a disparity in what our hearts are being pointed towards and formed towards. You don't decide your future, but you do decide your habits. And the habits that we maintain have a way of shaping and directing the rest of our lives. In 2023, there was a TED Talk given by Dino Ambrosi. He is an entrepreneur who has started a company which is designed to help young adults build healthier habits with the technology they consume. And during that TED Talk, he shared a chart, so you know I loved it. And I'm going to share it with you because I found that it was amazing, insightful, and shocking. So here's the chart. It's a whole bunch of dots. Each one of those circles represents a month in the life of your child, or if you're a kid under 18 years old, that's you. So we're assuming, if you're over 18 years old. So this is how many months 18-year-olds have if they live to be 90 years old. My granny's 92. She's way off the charts. She's off of a lot of things, off of a rocker. That's neither here nor there. So every line is 3 years. Every circle is a month. This is just a helpful visualization to kind of help quantify a life. And Dino broke it down for the audience saying, okay, right off the bat, if we're thinking about how we're going to be spending the rest of our lives, we should recognize that a third of it is going to be spent sleeping. So we've got this filled in portion. It's purple. 288 months. If you live to be 90 years old, going to be spent sleeping. That's good and important. I'm proud of you for doing that. 126 months are going to be spent on work and school. That's filled in with green. So you should probably do your best to pick something that you can enjoy doing, or at least you can stand doing, because there's going to be a lot of time that you're going to be spending doing it. 18 months of your life is going to be spent driving. That's represented here in red. Please wear your seatbelts and watch for pedestrians. 36 months of your life is going to be spent cooking and eating. That's in the blue. You might be able to shave that off if you only eat Taco Bell, but I think you'll get fewer circles. So it's up to you. You don't decide your future, but you do decide your habits. Another 36 months spent on chores and errands. That's in yellow. Another 27 months spent in the bathroom on hygiene. If you really love to primp, maybe it'll be more. And the rest is kind of up to you. Those are all the things that we assume that you're going to do. You're going to sleep. You're going to go to school or have a job or something. You're going to spend time eating, grooming, practicing basic human hygiene. You're going to have to drive and do some errands. And the rest is up to you. It's 334 months, just shy of 28 years. You get to do what you want. If you live to 90. So I'm just going to, in this next slide, just for sake of clarity, take all of those different colors and turn them into one color. Zha-zha. It's gray. So now we know that. And I'm doing this to help visualize what's coming next. If young people stay on their current trajectory with their use of screen time, the remaining 312 months will be spent on screens. So here's the visualization. That's how much. 93% of the remaining free time that kids have, according to the averages of what kids are spending on screen, and if those averages continue, of those 334 months left, 312 of them will be spent in front of a screen. Is that shocking? That's an incredible visualization. I hope it's sobering. And so I was thinking a lot about this Sunday. I was thinking about this incredible, really philosophically dense book that I read last year that was kind of the impetus for this sermon series by Paul Kingsnorth called Against the Machine. And I barely understand this book, so I didn't think it was going to be a great sell on Kids Sunday. But this message is so important, and I think about all the kids in the families that we have been blessed to steward in this church, and I keep thinking about how do we communicate the goodness of the gospel and the victory of Jesus in the midst of a culture that is literally trying to hypnotize you into wasting your life. And I was like, if only there was a movie and some kind of Christ figure that we all knew and referenced that even the youngest of us would be familiar with. And then I thought, I know one of the best portrayals of Jesus in modern film is Wally. Who has watched the movie Wally? You get an exemption from screen time to watch Wally. Maybe my favorite film ever. And as a reminder, the movie Wally is a story that says it takes a robot to show distracted humans what it looks like to really live. Namely, loving someone enough to be willing to lay your life down to save them. The other thing that's great about Wally is the humans on Wally. Do you remember those fellas on the Axiom? They're in this super high-tech, enormous spaceship that's fled planet Earth because it's so full of toxins and pollutions and catastrophes as a result of our excess. And they all just kind of float on these chairs that follow these predetermined paths, and they're constantly just consuming information and talking on transparent screens in front of them. And the movie Wally is set in 2815 AD, so roughly 800 years in the future. And this is what I love about science fiction, because it's like, it's a cute kid story, this could never happen, all that stuff. I'm like, look at that chart, Jack. 93%. This is probably the most accurate prediction of the human race in any science film that I've ever seen, if we stay on the trajectory we find ourselves on. So what is it about the gospel and Palm Sunday that might allow us to break free from the hypnosis, turn away from this device, which isn't inherently evil, but it is shaping and forming us. The more time we give it, the more attention we give it, the more devotion we give it, the more that it can steer our thoughts and our hearts. And I just keep coming back to the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem not to conquer, not to dominate, but Jesus coming in a humble, simple way to show what love and life is really all about. It's not about coming in on a war horse and taking the throne by force and demanding obedience from those that he has authority to demand obedience from. But instead, he shows us this willingness to be small. And in his upside down kingdom, those who are small and faithful have a greater impact on the world than those who are loud and demand attention. We are always given the choice of where we're going to spend our attention. The poet Mary Oliver once remarked, "Attention is the beginning of devotion." What are we spending our time thinking about? This week, we invite you to join the resistance, not to allow every waking moment to be stolen by distraction and gossip and news of the day and hot takes and online banter and funny little quirky clapbacks online. But instead, to allow our attention and therefore our devotion to be focused on Jesus, who comes with the shouts and the celebrations of the crowd, knowing full well that before the week is done, they will turn to betray and crucify him. The invitation of the gospel is to not be a robot, but to be a fully alive human who's created in the image of God and sent forth with a holy purpose to share and show the love of Jesus, even though it might cost you your life. On Palm Sunday, we wave palm branches and shout, "Hosanna," which means, "Save us." And Jesus does. But it's not by jumping out of a building as it explodes behind him and shooting guns at the enemies. Jesus saves us by allowing the empire to crush him and then demonstrate that even death cannot contain the love of God. We pray that in this season, you would fight the good fight of keeping your attention on heavenly things, not on earthly things. Your minds would be focused on Christ, seated at the right hand of God, and that you would remind yourself that your life is hidden in God in Christ. And that somehow, as we give him our attention and our devotion, the habit of obedience and love and sacrifice would grow more and more in our lives. That we would be a force of resistance of the great zombification of our world through the glamour of screens, and that we would be real, live human beings, men and women purchased back for God for the sake of the world. Let's pray together this morning. For your goodness and mercy, we are so grateful. For the promise of salvation we have through Christ Jesus, we are so grateful. And this morning, as we celebrate your triumphal entry, we don't fear the looming shadow of the cross. Because though the empire will do its best to snuff out this movement of love, the Spirit of God will not be contained, even by the grave. We're so grateful that our fight against the powers and principalities of this world is not futile, but that we are assured of victory because of what Christ has done for us. Help us, Lord, to pull our gaze, to wrench our eyes from the things of this world that would distract us from you. May we fix our gaze on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him did not scorn the cross, but endured its shame. We pray that we would consider him so that we would not grow weary and lose heart. Pray all of this in the name of the coming King, the one who saves, the humble servant, our saving Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. This Sunday, as in every Sunday, we have chances for you to come and pray. This prayer is open for anyone aged 1 to 99. It's like most board games that are good. So if you're under 1 or over 100, sorry about your luck. Everyone else, we would love to pray for you, have a chance to join our faith with yours, asking God to bless you in this season. For the rest of us, let's stand this morning and respond to the Lord. I read this review of the movie WALL-E this week as I was preparing for this sermon, and the author's point was, maybe WALL-E was the bad guys. All the humans seemed pretty happy. They demonstrated some level of kindness. And then I was thinking, you know what wasn't on the axiom per my watching of the movie, which I've done maybe 14 times? No animals. Think about the instruction the Lord has given us to steward all of creation, to explain and to demonstrate the grace of Jesus to all of the earth. What's the cost of our constant entertainment? Not only, I think, is it our distraction from the sacred work of following Jesus, but I think it also costs creation from having the men and women who have been designed to care for it to not be present to the task that God has given us. With that, let's close this morning by singing the doxology together.
Praise God from blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here.
Receive this benediction this morning. We bless you in the name of the coming King to be present this week, to turn your attention towards your Savior, and to devote your time, your energy, your life to sharing His love with all you come in contact with. We bless you with the promise that Easter is coming. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen and amen. I love you very much, church. Go in peace.